So in typical Fluxtpos fashion, I didn't release this in time. I was way too eager to go on vacation, and Kevin and I recorded this a week in advance so we could release it, and I totally spaced and never put it out. So I apologize. We're going to release the episode now. You can have a listen, and we'll have another one coming soon. Thank you as always.
Those cylinder, the ball ice cube things.
Oh yeah, that's what I have a big ball.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I could do either one, and then I happened to see these in only $10. I was like, well, I'll just do this, and now I'm disappointed.
I think it has to be your preference too. Like even with the big ball, yeah, it's gonna dilute. Well, I guess it depends on how quickly
you drink,
consume
it.
Right? So, yeah.
But I mean, we do the show; like, it goes on for over an hour. Like so,
yeah. Like, that's where my head's at now. Like, obviously, I'm not going to not drink forever, right? But, like, part of me is like, you know, having, like, you know, multiple beer or just one stiff drink, right?
Yes, right. Like, yes.
So that's, like, maybe that's, like, my thought in my head is, like, man, I do this, like, a good reset, and now I just make that full conversion, right? Yeah. I don't know. We'll
I mean, honestly, like, I mean, I was never as big a beer guy as you, but like, I don't miss beer that much. I'll occasionally at a restaurant, if I see something that catches my eye, I'm like, oh, I'll try that and whatever. But I'm ultimately like, meh, I could have just gotten a cocktail and I would have been fine. And
yeah, you like, know. I just dislike that full feeling you get from, like, especially like if I have two beers with dinner,
heavy.
I feel just bloated and gross afterwards. Which I obviously don't. That happens like if it's a special reason or like. But just let's face it, if we're going out to dinner without my kid, that's special enough.
Let's drink.
Yeah. So
that's how baby number two was born.
Oh boy, not physically possible. Can't happen.
Fair enough. So Jason, the big announcement today. I was going through the tickety talk and
episode 423 hot take, hot news. Coming in from Kevin. Welcome to the show, by the way.
Ninja has a new thing. Not the streamer. The cooking device manufacturer.
Oh, I was very confused. I'm like, what other ninja is there?
The more important
Jonathan Blevins is all I care about.
No. He's selling classes now online. You know, like those master class things you see online, you can sign up for like $20 a month. Yeah. You can take all these classes. He's got one how to be a streamer now. So whatever. But more importantly, Ninja Thirsty, it's called.
All right, hold on. We got to look it up.
Look it up. It was just announced. You can only pre-order it right now. I think it's like 180, which is typical, you know.
Is that TI, Ninja Thirsty?
Yeah, yeah, because that's what they've been doing. The creamy with an I at the end, the foodie with an I at the end. So it's
Ninja Thirsty drink.
Basically like a soda stream, but better. And it seems to be better for a couple of reasons. Number one, you don't have to buy the stupid bottles to make them in. It will make it and then pour it into whatever receptacle you want.
Okay, that's nice.
So that's all right off the bat. That's a huge thing. You can pick the sizes just like you would like your coffee or your tea that I have through my coffee maker. You can add in just all touch dial, how much fizz you want, how many ounces you want, how strong flavor you want. You can mix two flavors if you want.
Oh, I see that. So you can do your own Arnold Palmer, huh?
Yeah. So this could
still
be kinda cool.
Low fizz, medium fizz, or high fizz. So many ways to personalize a single flavor. I don't know why I got Jerry Seinfeld there. But
what's up?
That's
with
interesting.
This
so yeah, you can have the combos, the one and two shot combo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes so I'm like this is kind of cool.
6, 12, 18, or 24 ounces. Mm-hmm. So it kind of looks like a Keurig.
Yeah.
Almost in its this in its setup, but then it has okay.
Yeah. Huh. So you have the water well, you have all that stuff, you know, you still have the what CO2 cartridges naturally, but it's
those are like ice tumble. What are those things on the side there? I'm looking at the main site. That's just the water hopper I see.
Yeah, that's the reservoir for the water you put in.
And then there's like another one in this picture that's there. It's weird because it almost looks like there's ice in there, but it's weird. I wonder if it's supposed to look like it's bubbling. If that's
oh maybe I don't know. I didn't see that. I'm looking at it right now. But yeah, now the flavors are all like fruit for right now. So there's no like soda option yet. So it's more like a bubbly maker essentially for the time being. I'm sure they'll roll something out. But the prices of the pods that uses the flavoring is cheaper than the SodaStream options are too.
Okay.
And you could save like 30% with some sort of like CO2 subscription, like where they'll mail it to you instead. You having to go out and get the bottles, the tanks, whatever. So I don't know. Okay. I'm thinking I want to see some reviews to see how it compares to the SodaStream. Cause last time we got a SodaStream, we used it for a bit and we ultimately got rid of it. Cause it just, it's not that good. Like it, everything comes up flavor, sure. Flat, the flavor is kind of blah. So I'm hoping this is a little bit better. So we'll see. But yeah, I saw it and I was like, ooh, I'm running out of space.
I would think there's only a matter of time too before they kind of branch out into more like soda.
Yeah, there's got to be like a cola option, right? Root beer, you know, yeah. Something like SodaStream did sign a contract or they were bought out by like PepsiCo. So now like Starry is available and you can get Pepsi. So it's like those things are with the SodaStream option. So I wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that Coke might brand up with Ninja Shark, which is overall, I think, a bigger company.
Talk about Starry for a second. I'm glad you brought that up because I went to lunch with a coworker a few weeks ago and went to this little local burger place, mm-hmm. which was like going back in time, right? Because you come in and you walk around the perimeter of the restaurant and then you have the window that you order at.
Yeah.
And you grab your tray mm-hmm. and you slide down sure. and you can see the whole grill back there and there's give you everything you need and it's like a greasy great, it's good, but they had beverages there and I saw this is the first time I had seen Starry and I was like, what the hell is Starry?
Oh, you don't know about this?
He educated me and I had no idea that Sierra Mist no longer exists.
Yep.
And now it's Starry. Like that's what is with companies rebranding into shitty names? Like,
well, Sierra Mist happened
Facebook to Meta and now
Twitter to X.
Give me your take here.
So Sierra Mist, they got into a legal entanglement trying to sue a flight attendant, I believe, whose name was Sierra Mist. And they lost the lawsuit. So they decided just to change the name to Starry. It's not, obviously, it's a slightly different.
That's the reason.
It's real. Look it up. It's the real reason. It's not the same formula. So it's obviously not a one-to-one Sierra Mist. It's actually closer to Slice, if you remember that from back in the day. It was a lemon lime soda slice. It's closer to that formula than it is Sierra Mist. But yeah, they got into this huge legal thing and they just decided it was probably easier to not have to worry about that ongoing. So it's
slightly different. They like discontinued Sierra Mist.
Yeah.
And this got it. Well, this says, Kevin, that it's in part because Sierra Mist failed to gain market share in the growing category.
I mean, they said that too, but then they release a soda that's almost exactly the same and change it to name to Starry, which is arguably worse than Sierra
Mist.
You
have to have a... I mean, let's face it. The number, if you're going to go for an un-cola,
yeah.
Sprite, I think, is the by far the dominant player in that. Like 7-Up, blah. Let's never
say 7-Up's not bad, but you can't get it everywhere. It's not like regularly available as Sprite is.
No,
it's we got the option with our soda options. It's pretty much like whatever Pepsi owns versus whatever Coke owns, and then Dr. Pepper's mm-hmm. over on the side occasionally. But like, you can't any of those third options, 7-Up, gosh, what was like Sunkist for this orange soda, like or the Mug root beer versus all the like Barks and all that kind of stuff. Like, so it's all these weird ones that are one-offs. But
my wife got educated one time. She thought they had I think Dr. Pepper when she worked at the dog park. She thought they had Dr. Pepper all this time. Turns out it was Mr. Pibb.
Yep.
And she didn't learn until later on, like, those are very not the same.
No, they're close.
They are close. Don't even.
I'm a Dr. Pepper fan.
Dominates.
Oh, it does. But Mr. Pibb isn't that bad. And Mr. Pibb is definitely a step up from like the Walmart brand, like Dr. Thunder or whatever. Like, it's better than those for sure. But
that's like saying Save-A-Lot's Mountain Holler is as good.
Yeah. It's Mr. Pibb is closer than that though than those third party knockoffs.
I think if I had to have a Mountain Dew now, my head would explode from sugar. Like, it's amazing that I used
to get the zero sugar ones.
In my youth, I used to like that was like, I gotta have 15 cans of Mountain Dew. We're having this LAN party, we're getting serious, And now it's
code
like,
red, baby.
Oh, code red. Come on, code red wasn't out till even later.
I know.
We didn't start recording quite early enough. Kevin has a fine gentlemanly drink there, but instead of ice cubes, he has some fine Italian.
Stainless steel
whiskey,
cubes.
Stainless steel cubes in there, and they
still
suck,
warm. Still sucks. It's slightly colder. I can feel some condensation on the glass now, so it's cooling it. But
yeah,
I'm like, I you know, been slowly sipping at this already. Like, I wanted it to be cold right away, not put it in.
It's like this weird novelty my in-laws got me a few years ago, which was it was like a stainless steel ring at the top that would insert on the top of your beer bottle.
Oh.
Well, yes, it was also a cock ring. And it had like a freezable liquid tube inside, so it would go inside your beer. And it was hollow.
Yeah.
So the beer would pass through it and you could drink
it. Yeah, I think I've seen those.
But it never really, especially like, you know, not all beer bottles are tall enough. Yeah. Like they've gotten, like there's that trend now of like, we're going to make the stouter, no pun intended.
Yep.
You know, so it doesn't quite work. Yeah. But well, that's disappointing. Those aren't working. That's interesting about Ninja. I feel like they could probably get some market share off of that. So why not? What have you? Kevin, here we are. It's another week. You guys, future listeners, we're recording this well in the past because if you're listening to this right now, I'm on vacation and that's a great feeling.
Yeah, you are.
So
that's why we rambled so much at the beginning. We have to fill some time in, guys. Not a whole lot has happened since we last recorded.
It's weird. It's weird recording the show back to back, but here we are. Kevin, I feel like you, after driving around enough and I finally like today, I'm like, yep, I can't put it off any longer. I had to take my car to the shop.
No.
I need brakes.
No.
I need brakes. Like that horrible scraping, screeching sound that warns you like, hey, where are your brake pads?
We're fucking up your rotors now.
we're getting small. So I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I've never had brakes changed on this car. We've had it somewhere between five.
I say, is this your car or your wife's car?
This is my car.
Okay.
The one that used to be my wife's car.
Yeah.
But now it's mine. Yeah. So then brakes have never been done. So like might as well have a gift the once over. I told them to check the check engine light too. I don't know if they did, and I don't really care because I don't want to fix that also. Not at 170 if I don't have to, but I have the sway bar links or whatever are bad. So I need to get those replaced too. I'm like, fine. So the main debacle is going to be, obviously I need new pads. Yep. They're going to turn the rotors. Great. Question is going to be, my two front calipers are seized, and if they can get those off and lubricated and functioning properly, great. Otherwise, I'm going to replace the two front calipers, which is going to add another $300 if I don't. So I'm either looking at $600 or $900. Either way, it's like, what are you going to do? Like, I know the meds are working and the therapy, because I was just like, fuck it. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
You got to have brakes. You got to do it. Yeah. What are you going to do? Not the end of the world. Just write the check, right? Boom.
Yeah. That's where I've been too. Like, you're right. It's like the meds, the therapy, whatever works. Like, at some point, you're like, yeah, it sucks, but like, you can't get upset over it. Like, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. Being pissed off about it isn't going to solve anything, right? Like, it's just like, okay, it sucks. It is what it is.
Would I'd rather buy
Steam Deck?
A video card for $900?
Right. Yeah.
Sure. But do I need, whatever. So the car's in the shop. It'll be done hopefully tomorrow, which is nice. I get to work from home in the afternoon and then work from home in the morning. And then Jess will take me in. And we're having a tenant appreciation day at the office. So they have a couple food trucks come in.
Ooh.
The building owners provide. So I'm going to have some pizza, food truck pizza tomorrow.
That's
so
nice.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing. I have my nice, like, tenant appreciation day. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they started it, first time was last year. Yeah. They had a couple of food trucks too, so looking forward to that. And I have my quarterly review tomorrow as well. Ooh. So I'm just happy to get it over with. Like, it's just been like, usually we try to have them done in like by July.
Right.
Here we are almost August. So I was on vacation, and my boss was on vacation. So I mean, I don't know. I don't really know what to expect. I don't know. Hopefully, nothing else. I'm just looking for an opportunity to vocalize like just some of the frustrations and some of the mundaneness in some of my role that I'd like to
offload
at some point, get rid of. But I don't know how. Like, we're not in a position to. We're not going to be hiring, right now.
Especially downsizing,
with the lull of the market. So, not sure, but. Hopefully, well received on both sides. But that's a couple things I got cooking. I got the vacation, and really quick, I'll mention. What the hell did I have? I have in my notes here 90.
Yeah, I don't know why. So that was like,
I don't remember what the hell that means.
90 days.
Boy, Jason, past Jason, don't do this to future Jason, because this doesn't make.
You also
any
didn't
sense.
Fill this out that long ago either, because I had my notes in before you.
What the hell does 90 mean? I don't know. And you know, if it comes back to me,
sure,
I'll fill you in. But I have no idea what 90. I have no idea what that means. I don't know.
90X. You're doing some. No. Okay.
I don't know. Okay. Dumbfounded. Yeah.
So review. I actually had mine. We don't do quarterly. We do mid-year and year end. So I had mine last week, but I mean, it's something unexpected. My boss is like, listen, he's like, you're a rock star. He's like, you train everybody else. He's like, there's no concerns at all. He's like, do you really have any concerns? I'm like, no. He's like, just keep doing what you're doing. He's like, eventually, he's like, I mean, my direct boss has really been pushing for me to get promoted, for me to get recognized, stuff like that. But he has very little power in his role.
Sure.
And during the last round of annihilations they got rid of the person above him. So now we have new people above us. So it's like neither one of us are really trying to push anything. Like we're both just like, let's be happy we have jobs right now. Like we're just we're like that. We're in that mode for right now, at least. Year end, probably have a different conversation. But both of us are kind of being a little more cautious. We're being available. We're helping wherever we can, just like we always would. But we're making that known. We're documenting everything we're doing so that we can provide that to folks when they look at stuff at the year end. But he had no complaints. I was like, he's like, dude, I can't say anything about it. He's like, I was like, honestly, you know, Jason, ironically enough, is his name. I was like, if I was doing something wrong at this point, doing the same job for the last 7 years, he's like, you probably should just fire me, because what could I possibly be doing wrong that I wouldn't, you know, I would have no excuse. Like I know how to do, I wrote the freaking book on how to do this job. So, so not a big deal there. Over the weekend, we decided to do an impromptu, trip to the Boston Museum of Science, which is a fun place that I like to visit. We hadn't been since COVID. Yeah, probably about a year or two pre-COVID was the last time we'd been there. So it's been quite time.
Okay.
I like it, but I don't like driving to Boston. Like I'm that kind of Rhode Islander where I'm like, I don't want to go near there. Traffic is awful. There's always construction. Sure. They're working on the tunnels now, which are like the only way to get into Boston without taking 2 to 3 hours. But anyway, so my brother-in-law bought annual passes, membership passes, and he got like the family plan, which they give you so many extra capabilities. So he's like, we can get, you know, him, his wife, his 2 kids, me, my wife, and my youngest, we're all gonna go. He's like, and I'll only have to use 1 guest pass, which is still free. I just have a limited amount of guest passes I can use a year. He's like, you guys want to go? I'm like, sure. I was like, I'll drive since we're using your membership. He's like, all right, deal. He's like, I'll pay for parking, you drive. It's like, all right, fair enough. So we went out there. I mean, I love it out there. There's a lot of cool things, you know. They have
nice,
you know, dinosaur fossils, real ones. They have like a live animal section. They do animal rescues over there. So they have some exotic animals. Like if somebody has, you know, when you see on the news, like, hey, they discovered this big python in the middle of the city, like that's where they end up and they take care of them and kind of use them for research and study purposes. Yeah, they got the planetarium and the IMAX theater and all that kind of stuff. So we kind of made a big day of it. Just had fun. It was kind of good to have a moment of pre-COVID that I haven't thought about in a long time to be like, hey, I used to do these kinds of things, you know, and it's like,
sure,
I hadn't been. Yeah. So it felt some sense of normalcy without being, you know, super overcrowded. It was a busy day, but it wasn't anything, you know, that made me feel icky. Like I still get kind of that anxiety in large crowds again. So it'd be funny when I go to the Offspring next month to see what that is like. that'll be the real test there and how my meds work. But yeah, the museum was great, but we had a lot of fun, and the little ones all held up, you know, the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old, they still were rock stars and made it the whole day, no nap. And one of them, the youngest, fell asleep like 10 minutes away from home. So like they were great. So it was a good day. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was just a little fun to do something.
You're like you mentioned the Offspring. You're not going to get on the boat and listen to some Creed next year. No. The 90s tour or whatever.
No. I'm good.
It's like Creed and Buckcherry and Three Doors Down. And
yeah, I saw that on TikTok today too. It came up in my feed. I'm like, oh my god, I'm like, why is this? No, I tried to get tickets for Bowling for Soup and I couldn't get in. They sold out. They were doing a small like venue in Boston.
Okay.
The week before the Offspring, I'm like, man, what am I doing? I was like, I'm old and haven't been to a concert in years, and we do 2 back-to-back, but dude, couldn't get in for a reasonable price. Scalper's like charging 3 or 4 times the price. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
I haven't been to a concert since my wife and I were dating. Like there was some point it was like a bunch of coworkers, and it was like, oh god, there were 2 shows, I don't remember, but it was, I kid you not, I think it was Taproot,
okay,
and I think I want to say I don't think it was Tantric, but it was like those type of bands, yeah, right? Back in the early aughts. Early aughts, yeah. Who was, I can't remember. I think it was One Chevelle. I can't remember. They all kind of bleed together, but then Story of the Year was like one of the headliners. And it was like, not a great band live. Like they're hits, and that's like, yeah. Then you're like, okay, that's all I need. But that's how long ago this was. And like, dang. And like, I've thought about that. Like there's been a couple times, like Bit Brigade, like the one time, Mark Ribier was in Lansing, which is like, that's like a 90-minute drive for me, which wasn't as big into him then as I am now. So like missed that train, but then like now I feel like the opportunity of like, that'd be kind of a wild experience.
Oh yeah.
I think now based on his following. But like Bit Brigade's been in town a few times and some other things. And it's like, oh, I want you like, yeah, you want to go, but then like the anxiety kind of hits in again. And then you're like, am I going to be like that? The grandpa venue,
that's
right?
How I feel.
You know,
that's how I feel going into this.
And I know there's always like, you know, music is, it knows no age, right. You know, right. And there's always people of all, but still like, there's that self doubt and you know that creeps in. And you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
you know?
That's what. Like I like look at the lineup. So it's Offspring and then Sum 41 and opening is Simple Plan. So it's like, yeah, I mean like,
oh yeah, I should have known that. I think.
It's like, yeah, Simple Plan and Sum 41. Well, it's like I can name like four songs each, maybe. So that's, I hope that's all they play, and then the Offspring goes on for the rest of it because I know way more Offspring songs. But yeah, like I know that the age gap is going to be weird because Offspring obviously was around for a lot longer before Sum 41 and Simple Plan. But like my kid and his friends are all discovering these bands. And I'm like, how? Like, it just seems so weird. It's like, why are you getting into them? Like, they're not, you know, it's weird to me. So I'm like, okay, so I know people my age are going to be there. There's going to be people older than me that got into the early punk rock stages of things. And then people my kid's age. So I'm like, this is a weird like lineup.
I mean, what do you think? What's your guess on when was Smash released?
Smash?
What's your guess?
95?
Ooh, 94.
Oh.
And obviously, you know, they had like their self-titled was 89, just under this quick Google search. But I mean, Smash is their big breakout, and that was 94. You know, Ignition wasn't too bad, actually.
No.
That came out. That was in 92.
And Americana was like, what, 98? 99?
98. Okay. And then they had right before that Ixnay on the Ombre.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which I enjoyed a lot. Yes. So that's kind of crazy. I kind of forgot that, you know, how long they've been.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time. I mean, right? Like, they're old. So, I mean, they... I hate to say they're old because like, right. But they're old. Like,
yeah, it looks like what 21 they had was their last album.
Yeah, and that the Bad Times Roll. I don't know. And that's the title of this tour.
Is that new or is that compilation?
No, it's new. All new material. Okay. Let the Bad Times Roll is actually a great song too. Like it's very reminiscent of their like big hits. It's good.
Okay,
so listen to
Sum 41. I mean, that's what a, you know, a story of their lead singer and the like health and everything that he's been through. But yeah, like you know, I think they were more thrash punk and then they definitely crossed over into pop punk, obviously, when they hit it big. But like Fat Lip was, you know, that was
Fat Lip, Into Deep were the two big ones.
Yeah.
And the lead singer is the only original band member that's there, too. So it's just him. And then it's all other people that I wouldn't recognize anyway. So like, OK.
Yeah, that's tough. So but and then Simple Plan, like, you know, they obviously had a bunch of anthems for the those days that we all remember. But I mean, I don't think really much beyond that after that.
They were playing a free show at Epcot a couple weeks ago, so I saw that they were on Epcot. I'm like, wait, what? I was like, people just walk around Epcot and Simple Plan is playing at the Lagoon.
Simple
like,
Plan, I mean, what? That's kind of nice to for the nostalgia factor.
Oh yeah, like, and the fact it's just free, like people that happened to be there were like, oh shit, you know, it's fine, like that's cool free show to run into, I guess, you know. But yeah, it's weird.
God, I mean, let's see Simple Plan, where are we going down here? Let's look at Simple Plan albums. Let's see.
I couldn't even tell you any of their albums. I just know the songs.
Yeah, right. I think that was their first one. 2002, No Pads, No Helmets, whatever. And then what, they had one in 2004, 2008, 2011, 2016, 20. Wow, and they just had a new one, 2022. Harder Than It Looks. Very interesting. Like, there's not too many bands that I've like kept track of, like, throughout the years that I was still like Green Day, I was really big into in the 90s. Oh, yeah. And then when they kind of got super big. I hate to say that, but when they got bigger, right, then I was like, I didn't feel like that. I was like, oh, I like Green Day before they were cool, you know. And then,
it's true, they got. I mean, when they first got big, it was still fine. It's when they got political.
Yeah, like,
and that, like, American Idiot era, and
yeah,
all that stuff. Like, that's where Nimrod was fine. That was like the last one before that. And then they got to that stuff, and it's kind of like, oh, come on, man! Like, you're supposed to be anti-establishment, like, and that's not, like, you're not doing it the right way.
For me, I would say, Nimrod, and then Insomniac and Dookie were like those, and Kerplunk's all right too, but those are like the three albums, like the albums that I like. And then, like, Smashing Pumpkins, I liked for forever, but that band obviously changed very, very, very much.
And their rock opera they released now, I still haven't even listened to it yet. I gotta check it out. Like,
Foo Fighters, I mean,
oh god, yeah,
I think that, you know, that's one I've listened to for pretty much their entirety. But
Weezer, I've listened to their whole career,
Weezer, but not much else. Like, I've stuck with, like, my musical tastes have shifted and things like that. But I'm like, I went through phases, like, you know, I went through, was always like into rock, and then I got more into metal, and then I was very much into the emo punk. Mm-hmm. You know, scene in my 20s, and it's funny, like, not too many of those bands really had staying power, but, like, a couple that have, it's very interesting, like, the metamorphosis of their musical styles that had to change to remain relevant. Yeah. And it's weird, especially when, if they're trying to still maintain that style of music, those guys are, like, in their 30s now, and it's like late 30s in some cases, and it's like, it's just, you know, it's like a old, it's a young man, like Lucas and I always joked about podcasting, it's a young man's game, right? So
it is. I want to look up the ages of the Offspring members now.
I mean, Dexter Holland, like, I'm guessing he's in his 50s.
Noodles has got to be. Dexter is 57.
Oh Jesus.
Kevin is 60, and Adam Willard is 49.
Damn, Adam's young. And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't, like, Dexter Holland, isn't he like a scientist? Isn't he like some sort of chemist or scientist?
What does he have?
He's got a PhD, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, no. Yeah, he's got a PhD. It's in, I'm pulling up right now, molecular biology.
Oh, it wasn't even close.
And he also has pilot's license, and he owns and operates a hot sauce company.
Jesus.
Yeah, so he's a multi... cultural man, if you will.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hope the show's good, man. I hope the show's good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to see how I can hold up for it, because, you know, it's like driving out there, then parking, hanging out there for the show, which I'm sure the show will be great, and then, like, the drive home is what I'm driving, like, getting out of there, you know, whatnot. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see how I hold up. Speaking of how I'm holding up, after the last show, a couple days after, I get a phone call. Finally, Kevin, you can pick up your sleep apnea machine.
Can I just say that my wife sent me, this is great timing, because she just sent me randomly a TikTok, and from a stand-up, you've tried to get me to tell me to watch a lot of time, Joe Coy.
Yes.
And are you familiar with, I'm sure you are, the bit about sleep apnea?
Yep.
And went, oh my God. She just sent me, no contact, she just sent it to me, and God. Oh my God. So I can't even, people, if you haven't, just search very not safe for work, not safe for anyone else's ears but yours, but Joe Coy
sleep apnea.
It'll sleep come apnea up. or ghost, I guess you could say. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. So just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Thank me later.
So yeah, I went there. They asked me a couple questions over the phone. I got to talk with a woman there. She's like, what do you think you want to try first? You know, you have these different types of masks, and you can try out. Do you want the whole face, the whole Bane, if you will, mask? Or they have these things.
Your punishment will be less severe, Batman.
This will hurt for you. Or the nose pillows, they call them, which just go nose. Under. They just go under.
Oh, okay.
That's it. So I opted to try the nose one. They said, if you can keep your mouth shut while you sleep and not, you know, open your mouth and snore, which is, you know, the reason I was doing that was because of the fact that I couldn't breathe. I was like, let's try that. She's like, okay, you can try it out. You got 30 days if you want to then switch it for something different anyway, if it doesn't fit your needs or how you like it. So, all right, cool. Let's start with that. I'd rather try that first before going to the whole mask thing. Cause I'm worried about at that point how I'm going to sleep and how well it's going to work. So it's, you know, the device is actually super sophisticated. It's about the size of like a toaster. The actual device itself, it has like Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, touchscreen capabilities, all that kind of crap. And you could do your settings. It, It will adjust the humidity based on the dryness of the air. It also can make the air colder or warmer depending on the temperature outside. So you're not like just breathing in hot air if it's warm outside, you know, kind of deal like that. So it has like all these super sophisticated settings. But then the nose piece, which is what everyone wants to hear about. So basically I have a strap that goes over my head and this thing goes under my nose. One strap will go over the top of my head, just like headphones are. And one goes in the back of my head as if you had like the sunglass elastics to keep your sunglasses from off your head, like one of those. So it's not the super like, oh, I got to strap all this stuff on. It's just super stretchy material. Put it over. Good to go. Under my nose, it's
now
like...
Now you're ready to play Pokemon Sleep.
Exactly. Well, no, I need a detector. I need a new Fitbit thing for that. And this thing just sits under your nose. And basically, for lack of better terms, just to kind of explain this for somebody who wouldn't know what these look like, basically these two little things that look like AirPods will go up my nose. So it's like if you imagine what you put in your ear, just gets slid under my nose. Not up my nose, but under my nose. Okay. So you're only getting this small little thing that's actually going up your nose. It's not really going up your nose. It's just touching your nostrils. So you find the right fitting, which I did, and it goes underneath. And I can actually send you a Discord picture of what it looks like. Because I have one, because somebody else was asking. Somebody sent this to you too. But it just pushes oxygen nonstop. So it's shooting oxygen up my nose, and you have to keep your mouth closed. Basically, you can't talk and stuff while you're doing it, because then air just comes out your mouth, which is kind of funny to do. Like, but it sounds like when you open your mouth, it sounds like one of those dentist sucking machines that like get the spit. The thing itself actually does not make any noise. So it's not disturbing my wife. It's not making noise or anything like that. So I just sent you the picture. And it's all well and good. I'm having a slight adjustment period to it where I can wear it for about 5.5 hours. And then I wake up kind of in the middle of the night and I end up taking it off. It seems like at certain points I have a hard time breathing the air out. So like when you're breathing in, it's rushing in. So it goes in super easy into your lungs, feel great. But when you try and push it back out through your nostrils, you're pushing against the air that's coming in. So it doesn't, you know, the machine responds to make it easier for you. But sometimes I'm still finding myself struggling and it wakes me up. And that's like, hey, you're kind of struggling to breathe. Let's wake up and do this. So it mixed results so far as being able to wear it all night. But I will say, genuinely speaking, even the little sleep I was getting before with this on, I feel better when I wake up. It's just the oxygen breathing with that. The breaths feel better than me just naturally breathing. So it is helping. My wife says when I do have it on, I'm not snoring at all. So it is working in those regards. So I'm not having any, there's been no recorded incidents of me, you know, stopping breathing since I've had this, because it does detect those as well. And it lets me know via the app if I had any incidents overnight. And so far, so good. When I'm wearing it, it's all good. So it's just kind of adjusting to it. Surprisingly, I'm not having a super hard time sleeping with it. Because I'm either a side sleeper or a back sleeper anyway, and this mask, this type is actually optimal for side sleepers because you don't have everything.
Right.
So, and the nose, the hose is super long, so it doesn't get in the way. I'm not getting it tangled in anything. So it actually works well. So it's not as scary an experience as I thought it was going to be. No noise. It is comfortable. It's just getting adjusted to it, which they said it could take a couple weeks. That's why, like, when you first get it, your doctor doesn't schedule another appointment for like 90 days after you get it, so that they can have a good period of sample time for you to say, you know, this is working, it's not working, what are the methods, can we do surgery or whatever the case is. But yeah, so far so good. Not as scary as I thought it was going to be, just kind of adjusting to
it.
Yeah.
Good. You know, I'm trying my damnedest to become a back sleeper, and it just like, I can't
either. I find myself waking up on my back. That's what it is. Like I wake up and I'm like, oh, I rolled over at some point.
Yes, but I can't. I will sleep on my back. Yeah, and the only time I did was like when I had the procedure, because that first day, you know, you had to like hips raised, and I had to sleep on my back. Couldn't sleep on my side or my stomach for obvious reasons. So, and like I can do that if I'm on the couch watching TV or something.
Right. Yeah.
In bed, I can't do it. And I'll try, like, I've gotten a habit recently of like, I'll put on some chill music and I listen to music for 10 or 15 minutes. And then when I'm tired enough, take the earbuds out, crash out. Mm. But, I can get so close and I feel like, okay, I'm starting to drift. And then immediately if I turn to my side, I'm out, So, and it's like this whole weird thing too, of like my hips and my back, and I'm trying to just, that's the only reason I'm trying to do that. And I don't know, there's no other point, but it just doesn't, it's not happening, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's not, but I'm still trying to force it. I still give it the college try every night, and I still never follow through.
Just get one of those pillows that go between your knees, and that'll alleviate the risk of sleeping on your side.
So. Yeah. How about I just tie myself down?
I have your wife do it. Yeah. Be easier.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Honey, can you tie me down?
Yeah. She's like, oh, this again? Okay.
Do you know how old we are now, Jason? We don't be doing shit like that anymore.
I am 3 weeks from 40, Kevin. 3 weeks. Countdown continues.
No sympathy for you, man. I've been there, done that. Get to join the big boys club.
You know, 30 was like, whatever. 40 just feels, I feel like at 40, I'm supposed to be, like a full-fledged adult.
Yeah, and we still don't feel it. Yep.
Yeah, because we're man babies.
I mean, think of it. When you flip that switch, there'll be over 80 years of life experience podcasting on the show.
That's our new tagline. Over 80
years.
It's been 84 years. Whatever that stupid Titanic meme thing. Let's talk. Speaking of Titanic and things, Kevin, I've watched as you can see, I've been busy. Watched all the things.
Yeah, you've been a hell of a lot busier than me.
All the things here. So I can easily knock a few of these out, group them together, do the things. But starting off, Netflix has a little show called Quarterback. Follows three quarterbacks in the NFL from last season. Kirk Cousins with the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. The Marcus Mariota of the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, right.
And why can't I think of his name? From the Chiefs. Arguably the best quarterback in the NFL.
Help
me, please.
God. Patrick Mahomes.
Thank you.
I'm like, he's been Patrick my fantasy Mahomes. Quarterback the last 2 years. Why can't I not remember his name?
He gets a little more screen time than everyone else, kind of rightfully so. But I'm kind of glad that they put Mariota in there, because at first I was like, well, it's just going to be these dominant starting quarterbacks.
I didn't even know who it was until you said, oh, from the Atlanta Falcons. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Damn. And then I was like, oh, okay, because Mariota was with the Titans. That's where he was drafted, played most, I think, 5 years with the Titans. And then he went to, I don't remember where he went after that. And then he was benched. Well, he got benched in Tennessee. And then, I don't remember, did he go to Atlanta right now? No, because he's been in the league 10 years.
No, he's been around.
Anyway, he's been around a little bit of a journeyman. But, mostly they were with them the entirety of the 2022 season. So I think if you've watched Hard Knocks and similar, like, if you're a fan of that, not as in-depth, you're not getting all this feedback from a variety of players. It's focused on the quarterbacks. But it's really interesting because you get to see a lot of their life off the field a little bit, and like all of just the work and the prep that goes in to on Sundays, not just the from the play calling and the game plan and the film and the study inside, but also like the workouts and the training and just trying to balance life and the sport, you know. So I think we watched 4 or 5 episodes. It's pretty good. We really like it so far. So my wife doesn't know why, but she's like a huge sports fan, but like sports documentaries, stuff like this, she gets sucked in all the time. So, and I'm just like, I'm pumped for the NFL this year. Maybe it's just because, you know, the Lions, there's like senses of optimism for like the first time in my life. And so I'm like trying to figure out, like, obviously there's ways to watch the NFL and I've done that, but like, I'm wondering, like, is NFL, do you like, you have cable, right?
No, streaming only. Still.
So how do you watch your,
so they all stream on, so I have Paramount, so they cover CBS, which covers a lot of the Patriots schedule. Also have Hulu, which includes ESPN, so I get those games. Amazon Prime carries certain games too. So the only times I have to fish around is when they're on Fox or ABC, NBC, which ABC.
I forget what it's like to have a popular team.
Yeah. Well, that's
part of it.
And then the other ones I just borrow my brother-in-law's login to stream, like, the NBC Live or ABC Live.
Right? Okay. Because I think the Lions are going to get more primetime games this year than they ever had. But, like, most of their games are on Fox. So, like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
They don't have a great option for that. But I wondered, like, the NFL has, like, this, the NFL Plus. And I remember, like, last year. And it's only, like, $40 for a season.
They're partnering up with YouTube for something, YouTube TV, this year. I remember they were advertising during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't see what the pricing was.
I can't remember what that
is. But that I thought had every game because it was done by the NFL. So.
Mm. Because I'm just curious, like, if it works, you know, I'm happy paying like $40 or whatever. But I mean, like, I remember right last year, like people had issues and then like blackout rule, and, like,
yeah,
and
still subject
to blackout and stuff like that. So there's ways that I will continue to watch these.
That
games
quarterback show should have followed Aaron Rodgers. I want to see his off the field life. He's just like chain smoking and drinking Jack Daniels. That would be way better.
I'm pretty sure he's on Hard Knocks. The Jets are this year.
I may actually watch it just to see that trailer.
And he hates that from what I'm going on my course. He hates that stuff. So that should be kind of interesting to see. So, I'll get another one out of the way real quick. Again, Netflix documentary. It's called The Deepest Breath. Kevin, if you are claustrophobic or anxiety, don't watch this because it's, it deals with an extreme sport called free diving.
Yep. Okay. I've seen that.
Was not familiar with it. If you're not, free diving is people basically see how deep they can swim and come back up. One single breath, right? They're holding their breath and they're swimming down to depths of 100 meters plus.
I think they tried that in a submarine recently.
And they're coming back up. And it, oh my God. It follows one specific swimmer and he was a safety swimmer. And it's just like, holy cow. Like, you're like, your chest will tight. You'll be gripping your seat. Like, what's going on? And unfortunately, what happened, there's some tragedy involved, rightfully so with a sport such like this. But it's just like, wow. She swims for the national team for Italy. And it definitely seems to be a more popular, sport in the eastern side of the pond than over here. But just like, wow. It's like, what the hell is going on? I mean, like, wow.
No, thanks.
It's pretty crazy. I was not familiar. Like, you're be like, oh, it's going to be like free climbing. Like that one documentary about that one climber, that scale. No, it's not like that at all. So, it's A24 produced it. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to look great. Mm-hmm. It shot awesome. You know, mix of recordings from the competitions and they did, you know, some recreations for scenes as well, really, really awesome. So I mean, I definitely recommend it, but also was not a touchy feely heartfelt overcome adversity sports documentary. Right. It was like, oh my God, what is, So watch the trailer if you're intrigued. And then just before I came downstairs, my wife found something else. That's about ice swimming. In the same concept, people do a single breath, but they're swimming in frozen water and going from one opening to the next.
Oh no.
And I'm like, these people have too much time on their hands. They need a new sport. And this is not it. Go curling or something, or play frisbee golf if you want a new sport. Not this stuff. Like
pickleball. That's up and coming. I was on ESPN the other day.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So there you go.
No. So Pikmin came out.
Yeah.
After, 11 years, Pikmin 4 has come out,
Yes.
My marriage is no longer at risk, which is good. Because my wife was ready to kill me. She reminded me the day it came up. So she has played it way more than I have. She has, in fact, beaten the campaign. However, there is much, much more story after the credits roll for some reason. So I'm not really sure why they did credits. Because she's been playing almost as much post-credits as she did pre-credits. So it's like a massive story. I will say this is 100% the best Pikmin they've done.
Wow.
Quality of life and everything is substantially better. This is definitely a great point of entry for folks. Maybe not on the story wise. You might be kind of a little bit behind. But as far as gameplay, like, this is definitely the most accessible for anybody, people of all ages. I mean, dude, it just looks great. Again, it astounds me the level of detail Nintendo gets on Nintendo Switch when you look at Pikmin. Like the water physics, the lighting, the greenery, the creatures, like everything. It's just I can't believe it's on Switch. It's not like a Xbox or PlayStation game when you look at this. Like I don't know how they do it, but it's just fantastic. So I've played it a bit, and I've also done the co-op mode with her. So this is one of the downsides. Is they've eliminated the co-op as far as story. So you can no longer play through the story with two characters and like you could in Pikmin 3. So in Pikmin 4, the second player essentially ends up playing a first-person shooter game out of it, I guess you could say. So I can I can pop in, and I'm a cursor, and I can throw rocks at stuff, whether it's enemies to distract them, to highlight certain things. And the more I do that, and I can actually defeat enemies with it too. So that's why I mean, like, first-person shooter, because you just see the reticule on the screen. That's it. So I'm just shooting at that. The more you do it, you get additional items like nectar to power up your Pikmin, pick carrots to distract enemies where they think it's a Pikmin. They go eat the carrot instead, bombs, all this kind of stuff. So, like, it gives you a purpose to keep playing, and it does make it easier for the other person playing. So you can assist smaller children, or smaller children can do that to assist you if they want to play, but you don't really need them. So they've done that instead. Still definitely helpful, still worth doing, but not as much fun as controlling your own character and hurting Pikmin and all that kind of stuff, because you don't get to participate in that aspect of it. But other than that, I mean, there's nothing I can say bad about it. It is just so good. The story is great. Music, once again, is great. You could really tell that this is one that Shigeru Miyamoto still is involved with. It has his fingerprints all over it, and you could see it. So it's really just a labor of love for him. And I think maybe that's why this even came out after all this time. I have a feeling Nintendo did this for him. I'm not sure it's going to sell gangbusters, because the Pikmin series typically doesn't sell that crazy. Although this one should, because it definitely is easier for anybody to jump in. You feel less, there's less time constraints. You don't feel as stressed playing through. You're not so worried about Pikmin dying. It just moves faster. That was my
quick question for you, is what's your philosophy on this? Do you mourn a Pikmin death? Do you try to not lose one? Or are you just like, whatever, you're a slave to the cause?
I don't try and kill them, so I'm trying to be careful about it. I feel bad if I lose, like, a lot. I'm like, oh shit, I just lost like 30 fighting this one thing. But I don't really care, unless it's a type of Pikmin that I don't have the onion for yet. So as you go through, you can discover some of the Pikmin and you can take them with you. But you don't have the ability to grow that color yet until you discover where their onion is, their base, basically, that they come from. So I am careful, more careful with those ones, and I stress out more if I, you know, lose those before I got their pod to create more. However, this game also features a rewind, much like the Nintendo Online stuff. So if you really screw something up, you can go back to the last save point, which would be like 1 to 3 to 5 minutes, I think, is the most I've seen, where you go back and you can kind of replay that segment and try and do a do-over so you don't lose everybody. So
I'm curious, like, obviously this is the first, like, original Pikmin that released on the Switch.
Yes.
So I'd be interested to see, like, what it does, you know, sales-wise. Like, this is not the greatest data, but, like, VG chart shows, like, this is horribly outdated. Like, as of December 31st, 2021, Pikmin 3 Deluxe was, like, at 2.2 million units.
Sounds about right.
So I would expect, I would expect this to, you know, well outpace that. Just
because I would hope so. Install
base of the Switch, right? So
yeah, and the reviews on this game have been really solid as well. So it's been critically received better than the previous installations, I believe. Everything I saw had it like 9s, 8.5, stuff like that. So, like I said, they really addressed the issues with the other ones, and I've seen reviewers who didn't even like the previous Pikmins like this one. So it really seems like Nintendo kind of took their care with it, their time with it, which. What's Miyamoto's line? Like, a bad game is forever bad, but a game can be delayed, whatever that is. You all know what it is. That rings true for this one. And I think maybe that's why it took so long, because they really just tweaked everything and kind of addressed all the issues. So it's a really good game. So I implore everyone to at least check out the demo. The demo gives you a good feel for what the game is going to be like anyway. So it's there. So you can at least try it out before you buy it. But I use one of my vouchers on that. And the other one is on Super Mario Wonder, which comes out before Super Mario RPG. So we were wrong last time we discussed that.
There you go. So imagine that. We were wrong. Never would expected that. I'm kind of curious, like, now we've seen at least some sort of iteration from most of the major staples of Nintendo, right? We've had a 3D Mario. We're going to have a 2D Mario. Mm-hmm. We've had Zelda. We've had... Animal Crossing. We've had Pikmin.
Luigi.
We've had Luigi.
Smash.
We've had
all the sports.
Smash Kart.
No baseball yet. No baseball.
We've had Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Two Fire Emblem.
My question. I wonder if we see
Fox.
Yeah. Before the Switch is done. whether that is a port change up, dress up of Zero and, you know, readjusted to play on a single screen, or, well, I'm not counting Starlink. Like, that's just,
yeah,
like,
no, that's not, that's,
but
not,
like, if we saw a Star Fox proper, and I just, I am under the, I'm in the camp that I just don't think Star Fox can exist any longer. And as traditional Star Fox, it's just not a rail shooter. Just can't, I don't think people are going to be into that and
yeah,
very as much anymore. Like,
I mean, look at the arcade
style of that game.
Yeah. But look at the amount of people that are still clamoring. I've seen so many people asking for the Kid Icarus Uprising to be ported over, and like, let's be real. The Kid Icarus Uprising was a Star Fox game. It played the exact same way. It's just, they made you Kid Icarus instead of an R-Wing. Like, it played the same way. So I think they could, or even if they go back and do like a Star Fox Adventures type game again, where like you're on the ground and you have like the on rails are just segments in between. Yeah. I think they can definitely do something like that. But I would say if I had to put money on it, I say we get another Star Fox before the Switch is done, because they already said they're not going to do, people have been asking about F-Zero, and I saw some articles there where somebody was quoted where they said, we got Mario Kart, so we don't need that. Which makes total sense once they brought that up. I was like, you know, we've been wondering about this for so long, but after I saw that, I'm like, that makes complete sense. Why on earth would you do another racer that's been, let's be honest, as much as people like F-Zero, it's always been inferior to Mario Kart. It's just different, sure, but like, it's never going to sell, so why waste the resources on it? I think Star Fox could still pull people in much better than a Kid Icarus could, even if the game's not good, but they do have to adapt what Star Fox is. I think if they do something more along the lines of Star Fox Adventures, we have some levels we are flying. I think that would fly. I think that'd be fine. But yeah, I mean, they're winding down. They're running out of materials. I mean, all you really have left that you could do is, you know, we're still waiting on Metroid Prime. I have a feeling that's going to be a hybrid on this console and the next one. That's going to be the game that's a crossover game. I think we see a Star Fox. Or the other thing, which is still a pipe dream for me, of course, is some sort of iteration of Earthbound, whether it's a remake of Earthbound where they kind of redo it, or the actual sequel or something. Because like, imagine even if they did like a 2D, 3D thing like Square Enix has been doing with Earthbound.
Yeah,
that would be really cool. And I'd be fine with that. But I feel like those are the last couple franchises they can really pick from this one before moving on to the next. You could do another Kirby game, sure.
I'd love them to Yoshi do that game, with Chrono Trigger, the 2D, 3D.
Supposedly it's in the works. I heard that's in the works. That was rumored for the last Nintendo Direct, but didn't make it. But I saw somebody like that kind of drill down like all the announcements that were coming up for the Nintendo Direct, and all of them were on there except for the Chrono Trigger. So I wonder if it is in the works and they just weren't ready to bring it up yet.
Take the money.
Right. I mean, there's no reason not to. All you got to do is just do the 2D, 3D. You don't need to change anything else about that game. And people will eat that up.
You can't. Yeah. You can't. Like, that. Like, there's so much, like, I would love a full, like, well, we saw what happened when they did, there's been a couple of those Square RPGs that they did the full-on remake of. But, like, that game is, like, so timeless. Uh-huh. And, like, it's held in such high esteem that I feel like you're doing more harm by doing that full remake.
Yeah.
So like, those are like but one game I would like to see a remake of is Xenogears. I would love like but that also, you could do the 2D 3D really well with that too.
You could,
because that's essentially what it was.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
You know, you had the 2D sprites with the bad 3D backgrounds, and
plus I don't think they wanted to announce that. Like, if they are working on the Chrono Trigger, they don't want to say it till after Super Mario RPG comes out, because that's theirs too. So it's like, why on earth would you drop both of those? Let's just talk about Super Mario RPG for a while. Let that fizzle down. And I wouldn't be surprised if Chrono Trigger was the next thing. It would be on everything, of course. Like, it wouldn't be, I don't think it'd be a Switch exclusive. It'd be on all this stuff. So I think that would be the reason, if it is in the works, that they didn't announce it, is because why on earth would you announce that and Super Mario RPG, which people claim, like, you're either in the camp like Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, or Super Mario RPG was the best RPG from that generation. So you're not going to take it away from the other ones. You're going to let it have its time to breathe, you know.
I'm looking forward to playing through RPG. I've only played it via emulation, like, you know, a handful of times. Yeah. I think the furthest I got was, I think, getting, you know, Mallow and Geno. I think I got that party, but I didn't play, you know, too much beyond that. So looking forward to, like, going back and playing that with essentially the first time, right? So. Yeah. I would love, like, I think those were my pipe dreams for the rest of the Switch, is like, give us Thousand Year Door.
Yes, I would. Oh, God, I would love that.
Give us Star Fox, and you know, probably like, yeah, if that Chrono Trigger or whatever else came to fruition, you know, that'd be great. I would love, you know, I could see them, you know, at this point too. Like, couldn't they do like do some sort of Earthbound collection? Right. Yeah.
I mean, you got one and two already done. Well, zero and
like, because all you got to do is give people a proper release of Mother 3, mm-hmm. and people would lose their shit. But yes. That's like the it's like a meme of itself at this point, right?
Dude, I
like,
still haven't never, played the ROM yet. Like, I refuse. Never going to happen. I've refused this long from playing it via emulation, and I don't know how much longer I can deal with it. I just want to play the damn game. Like, I just want the game. You don't even need to do anything to it. Just release it. I've been waiting since it was supposed to be on N64, for Christ's sakes. That's what it was. It was originally an N64 game, and then it moved to the GBA. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Ugh. Well, let me tell you about some more depressing things then. I've read some books, Kevin. I finished Hatching Twitter, which I started
just in time for it to change its name.
Just in time, oh my God. And like, so really fascinating, you know, you take what you take what everything, like I said before, take it with a, you know, grain of salt, but just remarkable, like what happens and espionage and vendettas and just rifts and people just trying to get back at others and how it plays out on the corporate level. Right. And just, really interesting the way that company had evolved and what it became and what it is now, right? So it's very interesting to read that with what's going on right
sure.
now.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
The contrast is very stark and very daunting and very like, wow. But I really enjoyed it. It was a quick read, and it was kind of remarkable. And so I jumped right in. Went going into The Accidental Billionaires, which is the story of Facebook.
Yep, yep.
Which is the movie The Social Network was based on, mm-hmm. this novel. I've read another book by the same author, and I think I'm already halfway through this one. Another quick read. And I've just gotten to the point now where like the Winklevosses have learned of who Mark Zuckerberg is and trying to approach him to, this is their idea for this website. Yep. And they want, you know, so, just very, being transported back to 2003 and like being reminded of what technology was like then and what the internet experience was and what we did. And, you know, we've just become so, you know, with the way the net experience is now is just life. Right. And so just remembering going back to the net wasn't this.
Yeah.
You had websites that you went to, you didn't have aggregators, mm-hmm. you went to specific websites and you had email, and we had basic chat clients, nothing like we have now.
Yeah.
You know, video chat was not a thing. Video players were barely a thing, you know? So it's just like this drastic difference of where things are and where things went. And the idea of connectedness and being able to form these relationships and have all these things. So, that's been entertaining as well. And, you know, say what you want about either of you know, these people. But I think there's something that can be learned from it. And, it's just, it's an engaging story of how somebody, you know, had a desire and a passion and built something that's changed the mm-hmm. world. I think if we can say that with both of these pieces of both of these platforms, changed life. Can I argue for the better or for worse?
Debatable, but yes.
Just radically shifted the way we communicate and, you know, live our lives, unfortunately, on the daily because of these technologies. Mm-hmm. So, I probably will have this one done probably this week. And then there's a book, a parenting book, actually, my wife wants me to read after that, I'll probably read on vacation, but, it's been good. It's been good. Good to get back into the hobby. Right. And I think my goal was 20 books so far this year. And I think when I finish this one, I'll get that. So I'll try to get, what is it? We got July, got 5 months, 30 might be within reach. So,
oh, this will be 20. Have you finished this one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good for you, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Alrighty. The only other thing to note for me is I finally am paying for Game Pass on my own.
Oh my God.
First time ever. So For those who don't follow
rest
the news.
In peace, Xbox Gold.
Yeah, so Xbox Gold is going away, so they're kind of converting everybody's accounts, and they also eliminated in the other countries that had it, the family plan that everyone was looking forward to in the States that never came up, but it doesn't seem like it's coming now, because with the changes to Gold, they kind of announced how the structure Game Pass is going to go. So Xbox Live Gold essentially is called Game Pass Core. That gives you access to, I believe it's 20 games that's already selected for you from Game Pass you have access to, as well as the ability to play online. So that replaces that. So instead of getting games of gold every month, you get this Game Pass selection and you get your live. Regular Game Pass includes everything under Game Pass for the consoles, right? So you have your full library, your day one releases, all this and that. Great. It does not include the ability to play online. So live is not included in Game Pass. But it's included in Game Pass Core. Okay. So then the next tier you have is Game Pass Ultimate, which has the PC Game Pass, the console Game Pass, and the live all rolled into one. So
now you can stream.
Yeah. So now my kid wants to continue to play online. And I was like, well, this is kind of dumb. Talk to Donnie. And Donnie and I, you could play some Sarah McLachlan music here over this in the background in this part, Jason, when you edit. We have officially broken up the game share partnership. So I still have it with Lucas on the PlayStation side, but I now, since I subscribe to Game Pass, I do game share with my kid so that he can access all the same titles that I had without signing in as me, because that was a caveat. Right now, during Donnie and I's tenure of doing this, both of our kids had to log in under our profile if they wanted to play a game that was in our collection. That doesn't really work. And with the whole live thing, I was like, well, I kind of have to share with him because now my kid will get the ability to play online. So now we do it that way. So he's able to play. And now I have Game Pass on PC, which is kind of fun because I can get like Game Pass challenges done just by playing like solitaire on my computer while I'm working. So it's, you know, it's cool. My goal is there's enough like Game Pass rewards and like Bing rewards and Edge rewards you do for credits that I should, knock on wood, probably not this first month because I signed in like mid-month, but hopefully by next month, I should be able to gain enough credits to make Game Pass pay for itself every month. If I'm able to do that by maximizing all the bonus points or severely reducing it, then I'm not as mad about having to pay for Game Pass if I can make it free like I was with Fortnite. Like, you think I had Fortnite free, the Battle Pass, for like 5 years because I maxed out the Battle Pass every season and I got enough credits to earn the next one for free. I'm hoping to do the same thing with Game Pass. So it's getting me to play games I wouldn't normally play because, like, hey, if you play this game and do this, you get 200 points. Okay, I'm doing it because I want those 200 points. That's $2 right there. Yeah,
I'm talking to Coach Mo, I think, right here now.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not about the achievements. It's just doing the rewards. So.
Okay.
But sometimes the rewards, sometimes the rewards you have to do with the achievements. You got to do like, hey, you got to get 3 achievements in Game Pass games. Damn it.
I pretty much sub to Game Pass every time. I just wait until I can get a promo and then I sign up and get it in for a little bit. And then, like, Sea of Thieves might get me at some point to play the Monkey Island stuff. Yeah. But I don't really sure how urgent. And
I just bought the three month subscription card. It was like $44. So it's like, do that. See if I can start earning it for free in that amount of time. I'll be good.
Yeah. That's maybe a smart way to do it. Just to, if I can, like, next, like, a secret lesson learned, if I want to buy anything on the eShop, get $100 from Costco.
Yeah.
Yep. Because I can save like $10 on that and then stack it up.
Get the vouchers, then double dip.
Yeah.
But yeah. Plus, what I signed up to, it was like, hey, if you sign up for auto renewal, like with the auto billing, we'll give you the 4th month for free. So I'm like, well, now I got 4 months before I have to earn the credits enough to make this free. I could do that. Like, so yeah, I'm hoping I can pull it off. We'll see. You know, but
NFTs, crypto. Game Pass credit. That's how this man lives.
Mm-hmm. They're going to write a book about Kevin, once, Jason. Then you can read my book.
I would like that. I'd like that book. Kevin, I made a conscious decision on Sunday night, and I started laying the groundwork, proceeded into Monday morning, and on my lunch break on Monday, I put Zelda to rest.
Oh! Uh-oh!
Well, I haven't completed, but I've rolled credits, everyone, on Tears of the Kingdom.
So you saved time.
115 hours later. Oof. So I think I ended up with like 140-something shrines. I think there's like 152, I think. I could boot up my save and I can get the exact numbers, but I think I'm missing like one of the light routes. I had just a handful of shrines I didn't get. There's a bunch of armor I didn't find yet, and I'm sure a ton of side quests. But I got to a point where I finally was like, okay, I think I feel like I've done everything I kind of wanted to do right now. I spent my last bit of time just riding on a dragon, waiting for the 10-minute cooldown to farm specific pieces off of it so I could upgrade the armor I wanted. And then I completed a side quest. I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. Went and stocked up on full recovery potions, a bunch of healing stuff that I wanted, some defense up, some attack up, you know, all those things. Yeah. And then went after Ganondorf. And I will say I was definitely overprepared.
Okay, sure.
Right? Yeah. I had plenty of hearts. I was like overprepared in my what I carried in there.
OP.
So I think I would say in terms of difficulty, not the hardest boss fight, challenging at some points, sure. But in terms of experience, cinematic, all this, like it's, I think it's definitely blows Breath of the Wild out of the water. Like in terms of like that boss fight experience, like, you know, Blight Ganon was kind of like, and then you get that big pig, like just, you know, wasn't that. This Ganon,
Daddy Ganon, like
being actual Ganondorf, and he has ambitions and everything. Just way reminds me a bit of like just that whole experience, and you know, Wind Waker, or even Twilight Princess, I'd say. But just like wow, like just this really cool fight. There's a bunch. There's different phases all of that, and then you're treated to like just a really like rewarding, I'd say, ending. Good. Just like they're emotional, it kind of goes full circle with the story, the music, and everything. And then there's again, just like in the first game, there's a post-credit scene, depending on if you complete a certain X, Y during the game, and which was cool as well. And just like, wow, like as it was playing, I was like, holy shit, this is awesome, this is epic, and just this huge, the huge scale of it all. And now I'm left with this big emptiness. I'm like, oh, it's done. Like this has been my thing for
117 hours.
Now it's gone. So at some point I probably will go back and chip away at the side quests. I'm waiting for DLC.
Yeah, they might do DLC, and you could do the extra stuff.
And that would bring me back in. But just like wow, just so like it feel like at the same time I feel like it's a little. I feel like this is what Breath of the Wild should like. After playing this, now I feel like Breath of the Wild is kind of like a bit meh to me. Like this is like this is my Breath of the Wild. Like this is what the Zelda Switch experience should be, right? Like this is like we took everything from Breath of the Wild and reiterated upon it and made this penultimate version of that game, right? Like I just like the systems and everything. Like I enjoy so much more, and it just wow, you know, it was great. I'm very happy with my time invested into it, and I feel like I'm glad I didn't rush through it like the first game. I don't feel the need to do all the completion, but I did enough and saw the things, and very happy with how it connects to the greater Zelda lore universe. Right. And just, it's a very complete and great game, by far the best game I've played this year. But I mean, that's not saying a whole lot, but I think it has, I'm sure it'll be in talks.
Oh, of course.
Come that time. And just it's disappointing. Like you see a lot of talk, you know, about the frame rate and the stuttering and this and that. And yeah, I wish we could have a little smoother experience, like, but considering what it is and where it's at, you know, just wow. And the fact I played probably 90% of this game handheld. You know, I've only played docked a little bit, but I played everything handheld, and just wow, just a great game. And I love the world that they've crafted in this version of Hyrule that we've got to sandbox so much time in, right? Like the supporting cast is great, and like there's so much that can be done with that. Now I'd love to see something different, forward in this franchise. Like give us a new 2D adventure or something. Like I would love to see I'd love to see Link to the Past let's do a glow up on that.
Yeah, game. even if they did Link's Awakening, like obviously fix the bugs, but if they did it even in that style, I'd be totally down for that. Like,
And I mean, you can make the argument that, you know, Link Between Worlds almost essentially did that. Well, that's true. And it very much did, but like that game proper, like, you know, the question is, if they did, would you still have, would does Link still have pink hair?
I hope so.
Or do you think
they'd fix it, but I wish they would. Yeah. Now this is the last Zelda ever, right? So they're just done. Series no more.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
End of the story. There's no need to continue. So. Ganon's not coming back this time, right?
That, you know, that would be, if I have one complaint about the game, I have two. Like the whole, like the fact that Ganon gets introduced and then you really never encounter Ganon, and it's like just like the last game, right? Ganon and Ganon. And there's not like, he's not like a threat throughout the game. Like, and I guess he hasn't always been, I guess that's kind of how Zelda always has.
It's like the man in the high castle. Like, you just know the end threat, but you just got to do all the stuff to get
there.
You just
know he's there. Yeah. So I wish we'd see some more, like at least in like Wind Waker, you have a couple
interactions with them,
but I wish some more of that and in Twilight Princess, but you know, I wish that was there, but like, I'm ready now for like, can we have Zelda be an active participant?
I know, right? Like at this point,
instead of like, now, I'm not saying she has to be playable, but just it's getting troped a bit now where like Zelda's this big story beat, but she's going to be inaccessible for most of the story.
I mean,
right?
Look at
and
this way.
And then we have to marry Sue Saver.
Princess Peach is getting her second game. Zelda has not had a game.
Yeah.
And like playing Hyrule Warriors, like Zelda is a good character. Like she's fleshed out. She can do things. Like, why not use that? Like, I've never understood that, but you're right. Like doing a game where like maybe the different phases of Ganon are actually spread out throughout the game instead of all during the final battle. That'd be kind of cool. Like, you got to do the four big dungeons and then you fight Ganon. Why not fight Ganon four times, but different variations of Ganon or different abilities each time? Make him that big threat he really is instead of just being like, well, he's the final battle. Like, have him get in there. That'd be awesome.
I think what we've seen is like what Zelda does best and like kind of the traits of Zelda is like, we need, I think you got to have Ganondorf.
Yes.
You got to have the humanoid, that version of Ganon is the supreme, but we have parallel worlds, right? Mm-hmm. Like we've had the dark world. We've had
Twilight Realm,
Lorule, know, the Twilight Realm. And then in this, we have the depth. So, you know, Zelda does really well when we have these alternating realities that can use that, and play up on that and have Zelda be a participant or some way that, you know, Link and her have to work together to you know, change the world in order to progress, right? So
trap one in one reality, trap the other one in another one, make them do things to,
oh no, Zelda's gone, you gotta save her and you're never gonna see, you know, like that's getting played out a little bit, and I'd like to see something different.
Again, Princess Peach gets two games and Zelda's way more badass than Peach, let's be real.
But still a great experience, and I still love the game. And like now, I just want to listen to the music, and like I love so much about everything they did with the Zona. I could keep going. So
maybe someday, my wife is done with Pikmin and in the 100 hours, she's already invested in Pikmin already since Friday. Maybe I'll get around to Zelda at some point.
Well, good. I hope you do. Obviously, you don't have to put the hours. I think, you know, that's the funny thing too. I think I beat the first game somewhere between 70 and 80. So,
I mean, I rushed the first game. I was in the same boat as you. Like, I had to do it for a podcast. Like, I didn't get even like half of the shrines, I don't think. Like, I was just like, let's just get this shit done. Yeah. So I didn't invest a whole lot of time in it.
I mean, with that number of shrines too, like it's obscene because you can get, you know, max out your stamina. And then I had like, you get way more hearts. I mean, all of a sudden you're like, it's obscene, you know? And then plus it's crazy. So great game. I hope you get to play it soon. So,
yeah.
And I'm spent. The game is spent.
Me too.
This podcast is spent. That's going to do it. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. Tell all your friends. Special thanks to those arbiters of awesomeness, Tyler Allen, Tom Starbuck, Brendan Meyer, Skinny Matt, and that Crusader of the Legion, Edwin Callow. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/fluxdepose.
And tell your friends.
Tell all your friends. If you don't have friends, well, tell strangers on the internet and they'll be your friends. Maybe
that's how we met. We're strangers on the internet.
That's true. That he's actually,
let's go.
He's very,
let's do it, people. Let's build a community.
Yeah. Right. Well, we didn't know Donnie. Now look at him. Didn't know Sean. Now look at him.
Sean's.
I only know Lucas on the internet. So, I mean,
even though you live in the same state,
same city,
same, worse.
Almost same zip code. Come on. Playing us out tonight. We have Together Again from Animal Crossing New Horizons by Just Coffee. I'm just gonna segue right on.
Luke is living in the same town, and the song is "Together Again."
Oh boy! Yeah. Hey, art imitates life, right? This ranges the music one song, the KK Love Song, Animal Crossing, of course, 2020 Nintendo Switch by Nintendo. You can find this and many remixes more. OCRemix.org. Just like Futurama, everything old is new again. That's going to do it for Kevin and myself. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Feels weird because we just saw you last week, but we're recording this to be released in the future, and the worlds are colliding, and now we're going down the metaverse. I don't know, Kevin.
We got to go back to the future, Doc.
Morty.